Okay, again, Perek Chav Beis, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Asher Berashim Yimshal the Asher. One person rules over the poor. The Eved Loivel Yishmal. But notice that it doesn't say Ashirim Berashim Yimshal. Typical way the world works is you have one tyrant. One person rules over many. One rich man has control over many poor. And the Eved Loivel, the Loivel is a slave to the Ish, to the man that is the Mal, that is the lens. Let's see the Mitzvah, the Stav Pasuk Zayin, Asher Asher Bedas. The Mitzvah says that we're not dealing with people with poor money. A man who's wealthy is dealing with it with Chochmah Satorah, consistent with what he said we would learn in the previous Pesukim. The same idea that we said there, rich and poor, refers to Ein Ani Ani Ela Bedas. So here, Ha'ani Ha'asher Bedas, a person that has wealth, knowledge is power. Asher Bedas, Yimshal Be'ani Hadas, rules over people that have poor intellect, that lack knowledge. Lachin Eved Loiven, furthermore, Eved Loiven Le'ishmalve, Ratzalaymar, Kimoy Shahaloive Hu Muchne Le'hamalve, just like the borrower is humble before the lender, Al dependent, or not the dependent, I mean, that even if he's not dependent, if a person needs a favor, forget about being dependent, you need a favor from the lender. The lender is so kind to lend you money, he did you a favor, so every time you see him in the street, you're embarrassed. You're mukhna, you're humbled before this individual. So, now give me 1 second with this machine, this feedback here. Okay, Kimo.
Is that good or bad?
What? No, it's bad. It's not a matter of good or bad. It's a reality. It's a reality. So it's not a comfortable thing to be in. Not a position you want to be in. So it just says he's stating. You see, it's a reality. It's seemingly a bad thing, which a person has no control. Let's see what it says. It says Kimo Shalayvehu Muchnei LaHamalve, just like a borrower is humbled in the presence of the lender. Al Kilova Lo De Michsarei, because the lender has provided, has lent to him his needs. De Michsarei means his needs when he needs Cain, and therefore he is in the state of he's humble before him. Cain likewise. A wise man is in control, has power over the people that lack intelligence. The wise man provides solutions for the people that don't know how to make decisions. Therefore, the people that lack the chokhmah, the knowledge of making proper decisions, they are humble before the people that they are dependent upon to make the decisions for them in life, to provide them with chokhmah. So basically, he's saying, according to the Mitzudos, to the end of the Pasuk is a mashal for the beginning of the Pasuk. There are two parts of the Pasuk. Eved Loivel Ishmael is a concept which is very understandable. When it comes to money, a person has to borrow money, he is humbled. So then he's using that as a mashal for something which is a little bit more subtle. It's not as obvious, is that in this world there are people that are wise, educated, and have great knowledge, and there are people that don't have that knowledge. And ultimately, the people that are lacking knowledge will be humbled before the wise people, because they will need to come on to them to provide them with chokhmah, solutions to their problems and the ways to go forward in life. Rashi, there is no Rashi in this pasuk. And this concept of level, I think, much. This concept of every level Ishmael is a very popular concept in halach, in Chazal. That the loiva is always a slave to the malva. Now that is illustrated with a halacha. It's a very important halacha that if you have two people, that you have a din Torah. Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and Reuven lives in Florida, and Shimon, the lender, lives in New York. And the loan is due, let's say, a year later, whenever the terms of the loan are specified. And now there is some type of disagreement. There's a disagreement if Reuven has paid Shimon. Reuven says he did pay Shimon, and Shimon says he did not pay. And the case obviously is not so clear cut, because there were other types of business transactions between them, and Reuven wants to say that in the big picture of things, I've paid you back. And they have to go to a din Torah. And the borrower is living in Florida, the sunshine state. And the lender is living in the cold New York area. And now they have to go to a din Torah. So the lender says, so the borrower says, come down to Florida for the Din Torah. We have a very good Beis Din. We have some very chashuv Rabbanim down here in Florida, and we'll have the Din Torah in Florida. The lender says, I have great respect for the Rabbanim, and I would find, but I'm not going down to Florida. I don't have time to waste. I can't go spend a day or two with traveling back and forth, getting tickets, going back and forth. I want you instead, you, the borrower, come here up to New York to my Beis Din. Who wins? Which Beis Din do they two parties go to? And the answer is, you go to the Beis Din of the Malveh, of the lender. Because Eved Loive Leish Malveh. The fact, just the fact that Reuven acknowledges that he has borrowed money, and now there's a disagreement if Reuven has paid back the money to Shimon, that itself, that acknowledgement is already enough of a reason why the loive, the borrower, is indebted to the malve, and he have to go through the effort to go to a din Torah at a place that is convenient for the malve. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. This week's parsha, the Eilah Hamishpat Mashatasal Femshdifa, this idea is, has a halachic ramification. It's a pasuk, the Gemara, this is Gemara Masech Da Rosh, and I'll read you one Gemara. There are multiple Gemaras that say the same idea. Let me read you one Gemara. Ahi itasad, the azmenua ledina kamei da ameim abin ahardoi. There was a maisa shoy, there was a woman that summoned Amemar, I'm sorry, the Azmanua Ladina Kamed Amem bin Nahardo, that she was summoned to come to Amemar in Nahardo. Ozal Amemar Limuchuza, Vole Ozla Basre. Amemar went to Muchuza and she did not follow him. Kosaf Pesicha Ilova. So they wrote a document, and that document upon her that she is rebellious. So the Din Torah was between a woman and a Meimar. This Gemara Masech the Roshana the Roshana Laflamed Aleph, Laflamed Aleph. So the words will come back and explain. I'm missing some of the details, but the Maaseh Shehu over here was where Meimar went out of his way and he traveled to Masechta Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Okay, I apologize. I thought I knew this Gemara. I don't really have clarity in the Gemara, but the idea is that when it comes to Eidus HaChodesh, when witnesses come to court, then we make the witnesses have to come. Feel the Rosh Hashanah Chumvakam Shlomi Yaridim. El Makam Havad. Okay, when it comes to a business transaction, a lender and a borrower, the halacha is the lender has to go to the borrower because of this principle of Eved Loive Leish Malveh. So this pasuk is not just Divrei Agada, this pasuk has halachic ramifications. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Ches. Zoreya Avla Yiktsar Oven. Veshevet Evraso Yichle. A person who plants seeds of evil will harvest sin. An avera will grow and develop. Avera goyreres avera. Just like we have the principle of mitzvah, goyreres mitzvah. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. Same thing, one avera leads to another avera. But it's even more than that, it's even deeper than that. It's actually with one avera, it's a seed, and it germinates, and it grows, it develops, and the person will harvest sin. Thank you. Okay, no, I'm not going to look at the mouse. Take too long. Thank you very much. And the shevet evraso yichle, and this person ultimately the rod of his anger, according to the mitzvahs, the word evraso means anger. Ultimately. He will be cut down. Okay, let's see the mitzvah. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches says, Pasuk Ches Zoreya Kmo Hazoreya Dovar Ma Just like you have to add the idea. Just like when a person plants a seed, you plant a seed of wheat, you're going to grow, it's going to grow a stalk of wheat. If you plant a seed of barley, you're going to grow a stalk of barley. Likewise, if you plant sin, then sin will grow. Mitzvos will not come out of averos. The shevet of Rosso, shevet chamoso, shehoye make veroide bo, hine yichle, ratzulemar, yafsin hayocheles. The sin that grows in the ground will self-destruct. This Kadosh Baruch Hu does not allow in this world sin to perpetuate, to continue to exist. So if a person is going to be zoreat to sin avla, yiktsar oven, he will harvest oven, but oven is something which will self-destruct. And therefore, the pasuk is telling us, according to the mitzvot, for shevet evrosel, the rod, meaning the effort of evrosel, of his anger. Here we're using the word evrosel as a form of sin. Every time a person does a sin, he does the mitoch anger. Yichle, it will self-destruct. It will destroy. It will be destroyed. Rashi pasuk ches zoreya avla yiktzaven lefi ziri also kitzi also. According to a person's planting is what he harvests. Lefi pulaso yia kabolas mas churaso. According to a person's actions, that is what he will receive as reward. A person does an avera, he will suffer. A person does a mitzvah, he will be rewarded. Okay. Then the pasuk v'shevet evraso yichle. Kone hashibola shalo yichle v'hoy lechlo. Now, according to Rashi, Rashi is learning not like the Mitzudos. According to Rashi, the word evroso does not mean anger. Evroso means, according at least to his first interpretation, evroso means, it means a stalk. The shevet evroso, the kone hashibola shelo, kole v'hoylechlo. Evroso means, it means stalk. Okay, it's an expression. I don't really know what it means. Shevet Evroso is the kone hashibola shalo, this that comes out of the ground, being that it came through sin, it came into existence through an avera, yichle, it will be destroyed. Okay, then Rashi says the same thing that the Mitzuda says, Yesham, some say shevet chamoso shero de bnei adam kalev holachlo lefi shemav sides yicholosai, that his rod, a person who is a rasha and he does evil deeds, Using a staff, a shevet chamoso, a rod full of anger, he causes other people to suffer. That behavior will ultimately kole v'hoylechlo will go away, will disappear. Lefi shemafsid es yicholoso, because he's destroyed his produce. What do you want to say?
This last part, this Yesh Omrim,
yeah,
is going back on the conventional explanation, it means anger.
Shevet, right, what the Mitzuda says.
Yeah, but, right. And what I think he's saying is here that he uses his power, his authority, abusively.
Yeah.
And that power, it goes away when he loses that power, he's not.
So what do you mean? Let me read the words. The shevet of Rasso, the shevet chamoso. That means his abuse, his abusive power.
Right.
His abusive power. Chamoso is his anger. I mean, the person is a kasan. He rules over people in an ugly way. Ultimately, kole. The kala will come to an end.
Right.
The time will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be judge him, and it will come to an end. V'hoylechlo, and will disappear. Lefi shemafsid es yicholoso. He has destroyed
his ability to cause harm
has been lost. He has lost his ability. The shevet evroso yichle, the pasuk is guaranteeing that a person at zoreya avla, his power source will yichle, will cease to exist. Will cease to exist. What does the whole pasuk mean in its entirety? Zoreya avla yiktsar oven. A person that plants sin will harvest sin. And sin by nature is something which does not have a kiyum in this world. anything that is evil ultimately, may not happen immediately, but ultimately will cease to exist. And therefore, there's a guarantee that v'shevet evraso, this that we have described, his behavior, which has been described in the beginning of the pasuk with the term of zoreya avla, we're describing it as a shevet evraso, yichle will cease to exist. Something along those lines. And Rashi in the first interpretation is saying the same thing, but he's just saying that he's saying instead of Shev Rasa doesn't mean this, his behavior, his actions, it means his produce, the product. The product of his labor will cease to exist. Since this product has come into existence through an Aveira, he planted sin, he planted with sin, so therefore the product is a sinful product. The Shevet Evraso is a term which means the Kone Hashibolas, the stalk that grows out of the ground, Yichle will cease to exist, will perish, will wither. Being that this is a product that came about through sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guarantee that they will not be a kiyum. If a person builds an institution with money that has been earned illegally, there's a guarantee that that institution will cease to exist, will one day crumble and fall. If the foundation of something comes from means, sources that are not holy, that are not proper, then the pasuk is telling us yichle will cease to exist. Okay, let's go to pasuk test. Pasuk test is a more well-known pasuk. Tov ayin hu yivarach. Someone who has a good eye will be blessed. Yivarach means will be the recipient of bracha. Okay, that's how yivarach in the grammar, it will be the recipient of bracha. Ki nosan milachmo lado, because he has, the reason why he deserves to be the recipient of bracha is because he has given from his bread to the poor. Mitzudos pasuk tes. Tov ayin. Hanosein lo'oni be'ayin yofeh. A person that gives to a poor person generously. Yivarach will be blessed me Hashem. Will be on the receiving end of blessing from Hashem. Ki haloi nosan milachmo ladal. He has given from his bread to the poor. So why then does the Kaddish Baruch Hu want to bless such a person? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu knows that giving him is a good idea. When I'll give this person a bracha, I can be certain that he will give the bracha to poor people. If I give bracha to a very stingy person, the stingy man will hoard the wealth under his mattress. He will not give. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give bracha to the world, he channels his bracha through generous people. It pays to be generous, because if you're generous, Hashem will select you as an instrument, as a means of channeling bracha to this world. That's how the Mitzudos interprets this passage. It's a novel interpretation. Tov ayin hu yivarach. Why is it that someone who's generous is the recipient of bracha? Because really, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to channel bracha to the entire world, or at least to many poor people. And this person, being that he is generous, he will very easily part with the bracha that I give him. Ki nosan milach malad. One more time, was the Rashi and the Mitzudas. Ki haloya nasam lachem v'dal. The im od yivorach. If this person will receive more blessing min chasav, his possessions will be blessed more. Yashpia od yoser. He will give away more. The more I give this person, the more he will give away to the poor. V'lo yera levava besitolo, and his heart will not be stingy when he gives to the poor people. That's why Hashem will give a person who's generous bracha, so that he can distribute the wealth to more people.
What? The word Russian.
Pas means poor. Poor. Rush means poor. Russian. Very poor. Destitute. It's like the word evion. There's an ani. The rush on Evion, the rush is someone who is very poor.
An ani is a poor person, and a rush is a poor person.
Destitute. Same thing. Dal is also poor. These are all different terms, which mean the same thing. Dal, rush, Evion, ani. These are all words which are similar. I don't know the exact differences. Toy of Lakol. Me'ashvos. Because he doesn't even have dignity. Evion doesn't have dignity. Ani has dignity. Just he's poor. He doesn't have what to eat, but he has dignity. But no, Evion is toiv lakol. He lacks dignity. Purim is a zman of matonos lo Evionim. It's not a zman of aniim. It's a zman to focus on Evionim. Okay, now this pasuk is a well-known pasuk. First thing about this pasuk we learn is the halacha. There's a halacha that we learn from this pasuk in Mishlei that me'ikar hadin, when you go to you're a guest in someone's home, who is supposed to be the one that recites Birchas Hamazon? So they're conflicting the Mamar Chazal. The Baal HaBayis. Oh, so the Kohen. Okay, but the Kohen is not... So you say Bereshusha. They have a Kohen over here. Dorish Le'atzmai. Okay, what it says over here is, the Gemara says that the one who is the host... The host is the one that really should receive the Birchas HaMazon. Why? He's the one that's generous. If I am the host, if I am inviting you into my home to eat, I am providing you with food. So the host is the Tov Ayin. The host is the one who has a good eye. Hu Yivorach, which means simply, should be the one that is the recipient. Don't read it. The Gemara says, don't read it. Yivorach, Ela Yivorech. He is the one that should recite the bracha, the Birchas HaMazon. Now, however, we don't always do that. How there's another Chazal that tells us that Adarabba, that you should give it to the guest. You should give, why? Because the guest will bench who you reply the way Yivarach will be the recipient of the bracha. We have to understand that in ancient times only one person recited the Birchas HaMazon, not like today when everyone person says the Birchas HaMazon. In those times, one person said, and the one that would recite the Birchas HaMazon would add at the end of the four brachas a special blessing to the Baal HaBayis. And indeed, it's printed. Yeah. It's printed in every good sitter. There's a special bracha. Hu Yivarachas Baal HaBayis Hazeh, but it's even more elaborate. There's the Yiratzon, and the better print, they have a more elaborate Yiratzon, and that is something which the Baal HaBayis is the recipient of that bracha. So we apply the pasuk in that form. Tovayin, the one that's generous, meaning the Baal HaBayis, who is so gracious to host these guests, Hu Yivarach should be the recipient of the bracha. If he is going to be the recipient, that means that one of the guests should be the one reciting the Birchas HaMazon. On the other hand, there's the other Chazal that says, no, the one that recites Birchas HaMazon is a very great zuchus. It's a very great merit that he should have the zuchus of saying four brachas. And everyone answers amen to his four brachas. In fact, the Gemara says it's worth a lot of money. It's worth 10 zehuvim. It's worth 10 zehuvim, which is a bracha is worth 10 zehuvim, which is in total 40 zehuvim, 40 gold coins. So it's at least worth $40, at least. Probably a lot more. So therefore, so the other way around, Tovayin Hu Yivarech. Okay, now this
part of the Baal HaBayis is asking somebody else to do it. That's a cover himself, isn't it?
The Baal HaBayis being mechabed. So the truth is that we don't look at it like that. We look at it that the Baal HaBayis gives it to someone else, so that the other person should bless the Baal HaBayis. Should basically say thank you so much for inviting me to enjoy this delicious meal and telling me all of this lashon hara and inside information. Thank you so much. I want to bless you for this experience. Okay, that's how Chazal look at it. They look at it in an entirely different way. Okay, now this pasuk is also said in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu giving smicha. Tov ayin, someone who's generous, hu yivarach, don't read a yivarach, ela yivarech, it means to bless. We're referring to Moshe, now Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to give smicha to Yehoshua. Hashem said you only have to put one hand upon the head of Yehoshua, one hand. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe rested both hands upon Yehoshua. The Chazal say, this is a Yalkut Shmoni, it's also a Gemara somewhere, I know where it is, but the Yalkut Shmoni says, Tovayin hu yivorach, shkein motzina bi Yehoshua, shemoshe somach es shtei yadav olav, imosh nemar, vayismach es yodov olav. What's the mashal? Go and give so and so one measure of wheat. And the servant went and gave the poor person, gave the worker two measures of wheat. Moshe was only mechuyev to rest one hand upon Yehoshua when he gave him smicha. And why did it say Yodcha? The Moshe Bayismoch es Yodov Olav. Moshe rested both hands. And Rashi on that pasuk says, like Molei v'Godosh, Moshe gave Yehoshua a heaping measure, much more than he was required to do. In other words, the one hand is symbolic of just teach him the basics. Moshe, you're a malamed. You work 9 to 5. 9 to 5. When the bell rings, you can go home. You're free to go. But Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not the way he treated his Talmud. He was Molei v'Gadosh, he rested both hands. After 5 o'clock, he stayed, extracurricular activities, taught him more. He gave him the fifth Shulchan Aruch. Some I heard Darsh, like Chagas Micha, Darsh in this Gemara. Vayismach Moshe's Yadav is that he did it. What's the second? The second hin is the first hin is the Dal Chelke Shulchan Aruch. But by Moshe being Samach's Yadav, the second hin, he's also teaching Yeshua practical rabbinics, not just what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He's teaching him the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, the practical side of Shulchan Aruch, and basically experience, life experience. That can only come from a Rebbe that has a nature, a good nature, to be a toiv ayin, to be someone who's generous. Hu yivorach, don't yivorach al yivorech. Okay, that is. Mikra, then you only have a truma as a mashu. All you have to give to truma is a small amount. The halacha, we give 1/50. If you're generous, you give 1/40. If you're stingy, you give 1/60. The air tovayin to refer to giving more than when you required could be, I don't know the answer, could be tovayin huyivarach. So this is Moshe gave him. Okay. Then there is another chazal, the very famous chazal. This is a very important chazal that the Torah was only really given to Moshe Rabbeinu when then Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to Moshe, "Psol lucha shnei luchos avonim." Not that part. That's the second divorce. But Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why did it say in the pasuk last week's parasha, "Anochi Hashem, I am your God"? It should say, "Anochi Hashem Elokechem." It should say Loshon Rabbi.
Heard it.
It should say Loshon. So he'll tell me that every person was a yachid. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. They were all united. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in hindsight, Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't blame Klal Yisrael for worshipping the eagle, because the truth is, you did not give it to them, you gave it only to me. Hanochi, I stood there in Har Sinai, you spoke to me, they overlistened, they overheard, Elokecha, I am your God. And therefore, the Jewish people, they're not responsible for worshipping the eagle, they're not violated the Aseres HaDibros. And Hashem accepted that answer. And if that's the case, so why then do we observe the Torah? So the Medrash goes on to say, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Toivayin, even though it was only given to him, technically, he gave it over to the entire Klal Yisrael. I'll read you the words of this Medrash. Omar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, it says in the Pasuk Toivayin, Hu ze Moshe, ki lo nitna Torah ela le Moshe ule zaro. The Torah was only technically given to Moshe and his children. Shenema Kisov Lucha. That's one pasuk of many. It says Psol Lucha by the Lucha Shnios. Also, it says Psol Lucha. Ma Pisoltan Shalucha. Just like the Psoilas, we compare Ksav Lucha to Psol Lucha. Two different psukim. One is to write, and one is to the Psoilas, when he etched out the inside. Carved out. Just like the Psoilas, we know when to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe became wealthy from the Psoilas, so the Ksav was only for you, Moshe Rabbeinu. But what did Moshe do? The Ilu Moshe Noag Bal Toivas Ayin. He had a good eye. Unesana Li Yisrael. He gave it as a gift to the whole Klal Yisrael. Shnevelo Bakas Omer. Toiv Ayin Hu Yivorach. He gave it to Klal Yisrael. Okay, then the Mishnah goes on, they ask all these kashas, but we find seemingly that we have many psukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the whole Klal Yisrael, and each pasuk Chazal are able to wiggle out of. I'll give you just one example. It says in the pasuk, V'osi tziva bo'esahi lilamed eschem. I, Hashem, commanded me at that time to teach you. So that clearly means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the entire Torah, and Moshe was going to be the teacher. So how do you wiggle out of that pasuk? So the Gemara says, no, you have to put a comma. V'osi tziva, comma, bo'esahi. Hashem only commanded me, but I, you add a comma, but I, on my own, decided, lilamed eschem. Okay, so really, it's a forced interpretation. The Gemara does this multiple times. The Gemara goes through, I think, 3 or 4 psukim, where it seems to indicate clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the entire Klal Yisrael, and Moshe was just the representative. No, the Gemara says, if you really want to be creative in how you translate the pasuk, you can put a comma, a hard break in between the words, and that will allow you to interpret the pasuk that Hashem gave the only Torah to Moshe, and Moshe in turn gave it to Klal Yisrael. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkai. Moshe, it was matnas. We allude to that when we say this on Shabbos. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, in his portion. Ki eve nemon. So what is matnas chelko? The Torah. It's Torah's Moshe. It's his Torah. It's his portion. And Moshe was kind and generous. He gave it to the entire Klal Yisrael. Yeah. What do you want to say?
Why does
so convoluted because there were 2,000 Eilei Rav who made the Eidel? What does that reflect on everybody?
The silent majority. The silent majority.
The silent majority.
The Erev Rav were vocal. They worshipped, but it was tolerated. It was tolerated by the Hamoinam. If the moral climate of the 600,000 people that were FFB from birth, they would not tolerate. It could never happen that the Erev Rav would have the chutzpah to go worship an Egan cloud. Even though it was only a small minority, it was tolerated. Like today in America, a lot of things. A lot of things that you read about, these shocking things, it's only a very few, very, very small percent, very fraction of people. But yet, it's tolerated. It's tolerated, so empty cans make a lot of noise. And that is what Chazal, they say this idea over and over, they're saying it's very good. The Erev Rav is just a teeny, teeny little fraction. But why were they able to get away with it? How did Klal Yisrael? It's not so, because they all had hirhurim deep, deep down in their mind. It's not so bad. Now, I'm not going to do it. It doesn't pass to me. A chashev person like me with a big black hat, you know. But you know. When no one's watching, then it's a different story. Let's go now. Okay, there's another very beautiful medrash. This is a fantastic medrash that tells us the difference between this medrash is from the Yalkut Shmoni and in the Tanchuma. Yalkut Shmoni in Mishlei, here, right here in this section, and in the Tanchuma in Parashas Zois HaBracha. You'll see why he comes from the Zois HaBracha. The medrash contrast compares the bracha of Yaakov to of Yosef. Yaakov, Yosef, and Moshe. Yaakov received how many brachas? Did Yaakov receive? Yaakov was blessed by his father Yitzchak, but Yitzchak was serving as a representative of Avraham as well. He received a total of, even though each bracha had many parts, the Yitin Lecha had 10 parts, it's correct. The Yitin Lecha Elokim has 10 parts, but that was considered to be one bracha. Okay, let's not go into the details. Okay, let's discuss the focus. He was received 5 brachas. Yosef received 6 brachas. Yosef gave over 6 brachas to Ephraim and Menashe. And Moshe added to Yosef, and he gave Klal Yisrael 7 brachas. So this is a very interesting message because it puts these 3 people in a very unique club. Yaakov, Yosef, and Moshe. It's always very interesting how he categorized the Ishei HaTanach. We all know Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And you can get many ways to categorize people, but here we have 3 very unique club. Yaakov, Yosef, and Moshe. Let me read you some of the words. Ata Motze, Yaakov Kibel Barachos. He received Kibel Chomesh Barachos, 5 sets of blessings. What are the 5 sets? Shtayim Me'aviv, received 2 from Yitzchak. What are the 2? Well, first he gave him the brachos. The Yitein L'cholokim Yitel Hashem Mishran Eretz. And then when Esav walked in, what happened? Vayechar Yitzchak Hadad Gedol La'ad Ma'od, Mi Eifohu Atzot Sayid, Vayavali brought this to me. And then what did he say at the end? Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. So this alone is a gem that we can extract from the Medrash. The words Gam Baruch Yehiyeh itself was a repetition of the bracha. Like he got it twice. He got the bracha originally, and when he said Gam Baruch, let's do it. Gam Baruch. Who? Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. Yehiyeh. Gam Baruch Yehiyeh was Ki'ilu. Yaakov Avinu gave the brachas to Yaakov. Yitzchak gave the brachas to Yaakov all over again. That's the first part. Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. Now that's ready too. We're next. The Achas Shel Avraham. Before Yaakov went to Lavan to get married through the advice of his mother and his father, he gave him another bracha. What was the other bracha? He said to him, the Yitim Luchas Birkas Avram, someone that was the real bracha. But according to the Medrash, that was already a third bracha. 2 from Yitzchak. 1, I'm giving over for you from the grandfather I have in my possession, that bracha, I'm giving that to you as well. Yitzchak had that in reserve, and he gave that to Yaakov as well. And later, when he finally left to go get married, so that's already 3 sets of brachas. Set number 4 was when Yaakov went and met the Malach on the way back. After he spent 20 on the way back, from Lavan after 20 years.
Why don't they take the pasuk before also in Ma'aseh Devarim? It's a pasuk right before
That's all part of the bracha.
But then it says, that's supposed to get to. So that's two combined.
Wait. I have to go see the psukim inside.
So the psukim here in the Torah says,
Right, that's the third bracha.
So the whole thing is in pusik
bracha. That's one bracha. That's all one conversation. All of that entire conversation, according to this medrash, is considered one bracha. No, according to this medrash, it was one conversation. It was one conversation. That conversation included Birchas Avraham. So therefore, we have already three: two, once the original bracha, Gam Baruchia, and now the third bracha from when he was about to leave from Avraham. The fourth bracha was from the Malach. The Malach Elokim, when the pasuk says, "Vayera Elokim El Yaakov Od Bevomi Padan Aram," when he came back, "Vayivarich Oisoni," blessed him. So the Malach on the way back, when the Malach went and when Yaakov was returning from Lavan back to Ya'i, and he met up with Esav and
This is not the fight.
This is Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Tes Lamed Hey.
No, it's before. It's Lamed.
Vayera. So this is.
Lamed is Lamed.
No. So that's not included. He's going back home now. This is after Shechem. This is when Yaakov Avinu, when he already came home.
Right.
Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Tes. Bevomi padam vayivarech also vayolat moshimo Yaakov lo yikosh shemoshol kiyem Yisrael. So this is. No, you're right on this. This I'm sorry. Right. This is where I'm sorry. I skip. This is Hashem. Hashem is blessing him, not the Malach. I'm sorry. You're right. This is Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing Yaakov Avinu when he comes back after the children mice of Din and Shechem. Later, after he returns home, and Hashem says to him, "Kum lech padena." And he gives him the blessing. It says here in Pasuk Tes, "Vayivarech also," he blesses him. Okay, that's number four.
That's actually five. Number four is early.
The Medrash is not counting that. He does. You have to. Okay, I don't know the answers to these questions. The Medrash, whatever reason, is telling us has some system. Okay, I don't know. I don't know the why you count one, you don't count another. The Yitin Lecha, Gam Baruch. It says five. Yes, the Medrash specifically says five. It's coming to contrast.
Do they itemize them?
Yeah, they itemize it. Yes. The Yalkut Shmoni, Mishlei Resh Mem Zayin, Chomesh Brachos. The first, Yitin Lecha Lekim. The second one is Gam Baruch Yeh. The third is the Yitin Lecha is Birkas Avraham. Okay, the Achas Shel Malach. Vayivorech also. I think that's the one. That's the one. The Malach. When the Malach blessed him, right? Vayeovek ish imoy adalis hashachar shalcheini loyashalecha loyashalechim berachtoni. So he got a bracha from the Malach. That's got the Malach. And now we got a bracha years later after the mice of Dina in Shechem. He got another bracha vayivorech Hashem. The Yaakov Od Vayivorech also. So it's a grand total of five brachas. Yaakov Avinu received five brachas: two from his father, one from his grandfather, one from the Malach, and one from Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzmai. Five brachas. Okay, now.
Is there something in reference to their order?
No, I don't know. I don't. I hear first Yaakov the father, two, then the grandfather. The grandfather comes
next. In order, ultimately, the highest power is given the brother, but it's brother himself.
Father, grandfather, Malach. then the Malach, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So why about the grandfather? You want to say the grandfather is less of a madriga than the father?
No, just ascending order.
There's no order.
Okay, I don't know.
Fine.
Okay, five brachas. Now the Medrash goes further and it says, what about Yosef? Yosef, when Yaakov Avinu went, I made a mistake. Not Yosef. When Yaakov came to bless all of the Shvatim. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. When Yaakov came along to bless Klal Yisrael, the Shiftei Ka, Berchon, He blessed them with, he gave over to them the five blessings that he had in his possession.
Asher ki birchosoi beirach oisam. Birchosoi hare bracha achas, hare bracha achas.
So the Gemara in the Gemara makes his drasha is in Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Chav Ches at the end, when they all got together,
he also v'agidlchem Eser yigilchem yachar sayamim. He blessed them.
Okay, I have to study this in more detail. I don't know, but according to the Medrash, makes it very clear that he took those five brachos that he received from Yaakov, from Yitzchak, from Avraham, from Hashem, from the Malach, and now he transmitted them over to the next generation, to the Shvatim. And then the pasuk says, Asher kibir chaso. That is a word which means his own, private. In addition to those five, he also gave over his own bracha for grant total of six. Hari brach achas. Now, here's the part that's really nice. And this we detach.
All the brachas that he gave to English, ultimately explained it all. That's a
Rashi. Right, but then he gave again his own private bracha. In addition to transmitting the brachas that he received from before, those five, he now gave over his own private bracha.
And each shevet, let's say, he gave
right.
Each
okay, fine, but that was unique. That was his own. A person has in his possession brachos from the previous generations, and then due to his ma'asim tovim and his own merits, he has the koyach to give his own brachas.
That was Rashi saying he did.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. So that's what the Medrash coming to allow. The Medrash coming to putting in terms of numbers. Yaakov, before he died, he took the brachos that he had in his possession, he gave them over, plus in his own merits, he had the koyach to give his own unique bracha to Klal Yisrael. That bracha that he gave, obviously, was a complex bracha. Each shevet had its unique koyachos. And he gave each shevet what they needed. Then we come to Moshe. Moshe, now, is much more elaborate. Moshe, this is what the pasuk means. Tov ayin hu yeh. Vorach al tikri yivarach eli yivarech. Moshe, he got the icing on the cake. Because Moshe, he was the one that gave over seven brachas. Like a wedding. A wedding, daf yom iksubis. You learn how daf yom iksubis. You learn about the shed of brachas. There's a very big inyan. The number.
Days ago, we forgot it.
Ready, forgot it, ready. The inyan of shed of brachas is a very powerful concept. That there should be specifically seven blessings. Seven is a number which represents the shlemus of teva. It's the shlemus of bracha. The shlemus of bracha is the number of seven. And this was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we mean? So here the Medrash elaborates. Shnemar v'zoyis habracha asher beirach Moshe. The last parash of the Torah refers to v'zos habracha elajet tosefes al habrachos. V'zos habracha. Period. That's it. V'zos habracha. Moshe, in addition to the six that he had. Representing Klal Yisrael, Moshe now gave over to them. Klal Yisrael now got the seventh bracha, Zos Habracha Shabrach Moshe Espinei Yisrael, which means Klal Yisrael already had in their possession six blessings, two from Yitzchak, one from Avraham, one from the Malach, one from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one from Yaakov. And now Moshe is giving Klal Yisrael the Zoyz HaBroch Asher Berach Moshe Es B'nei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael now has the Shlemus, will now have the seventh bracha. So that means when you look at Klal Yisrael and you say we're a blessed nation, who are we blessed from? We have seven brachas, Klal Yisrael. Two from Yitzchak, one from Avraham, one from...
Why did Moshe have to do that? I can understand Yaakov had his, he had it transferred over to the whole... But once Yaakov gave it over to the Shvatim, those five,
and then he gave over his own. Hashem wanted that. As time passes, the Klal Yisrael gets greater and greater. The brachas increase. Klal Yisrael has grown, developed, they matured through time, and now they're ready for a seventh bracha. So Sach HaKol, according to the Medrash, Klal Yisrael is a recipient of Sheva. Brachos. Maybe you can make a drasha, you can figure out how the seven brachos by Chasna of Yotzer HaOdam, Asher Yotzer, Asher Bara corresponds. Wouldn't it be such an interesting idea to go
Bar
Priya Gofen to figure out, you work it out. It's an amazing idea. There are Klal Yisrael, according to the Medrash, has in their possession seven blessings from seven different, six different sources.
But Moshe didn't give over the first five again.
Well, they didn't need to. They already had it. They already just gave the last one. the last one. They already had six. Yaakov gave them the sixth. Kasher ki birchasai. Now Klal Yisrael is getting the seventh from Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, it's a very interesting. Okay, obviously there are a lot of loose ends that have to be addressed because of all the extra times it says bracha bracha. But you know, you have there's a medrash. There's a Yalkut Shmoni. There's a Tanchuma. They both say the same thing, and it definitely is something interesting to learn. Okay, now there's an entirely different drasha. Now this after everything we learn now that we just forget about, ignore. Okay, did I tell you this? Official Shachter. Official Shachter, he said that when he gives a drasha, he's a big speaker, Official Shachter. So he has a rule that if he tells a good joke, you can't tell over a good joke to the same audience at least for 5 months. You got to give the mind time to forget. 5 months. He says 5 months. It's after 5 months they forget the jokes. He can recycle the jokes. A story. Stories are even better. Something because they're more elaborate. So you have to wait 2.5 months. A good line, a sharp, witty line. You can't recycle. You have to wait at least 2 weeks. A Dvar Torah. You can say the same Dvar Torah twice in the same speech and they won't remember. Okay. So here we have to forget the Dvar Torah because now we're going into an entirely different approach to what it means over here. Toiv ayin hu yevorach al tikri yevorach al yevorach. So the Gemara tells us a very interesting idea. Bilam, how many mizbechos did Bilam erect?
Seven.
What was he supposed to do? What was he planning to do on each one of those seven mizbechos? He was planning to curse Klal Yisrael. Vayhavich Hashem Elokecha es haklalo levracha, ki ahevucha Hashem Elokecha. So the truth was, Hashem was planning to convert, to transform seven curses into seven blessings. Problem is, Bilam, to some degree, not that you can't say this, not only literally, he outsmarted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He built the seven mizbechos, but he only issued three klalos, which turned into three brachos. Four he got away with. Four, when he saw that things were not going his way, that already three times the klala turned into a bracha, he stopped. Because he did not want that on each one of the seven mizbechos, each one there should be seven brachos. So four of the seven brachos were missing, were lacking. Because really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned that Bilam should give Klal Yisrael seven brachos, but he stopped short. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to fill in and give over the other four that were lacking. Let me read the entire thing, it's very interesting. Here we go. Let's see, here it is. Dov Racher.
Forget what he said.
The Zosa Bracha. I told you, this is a whole different idea. Dov Racher. Medrash. The Ayim Panim Lutara. Dov Racher. Dovar Acher. The Zosa Bracha. Ela Shezet Hosefes Al Bracha Shebrach Bilam. Shayroi Levarcham Sheva Brachos Kinegat Shiva Mizbuchos. Veloi Berachon Ela Shalosh. Bilam was meant, it was his destiny to bless Klal Yisrael seven times. To prove this, he built seven Mizbachos, but he failed. He only blessed him three times. Shenemar, Vihine, Beirachta, Bilam, Balak said to Bilam, what are you doing? I hired you to curse Klal Yisrael. Vihine, Beirachta, Vorech, Zesh, Shaloish, Peramim. So it's the Farish Apostle, you blessed him only three times. So, Amar Lekadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha Ata, Ein Chatzara Levarchan. You're trying to outsmart me. That I have designated you to bless my people seven times, and you stopped short. So you know what? I'll get the job done with someone else. Someone else will come along and fill in the gaps. Who was that? That was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu came along. Moshe, she'eino yofe. Who has a beautiful eye? Berach es Yisrael. Allah was shlomer than upon him. This our pasuk right here. Toiv ayin hu yivaruch. Moshe had the toiv ayin. Bilam was shasu ho ayin. Had a closed eye. That's why we made. That's why the medrash over here. What does it mean that he had a closed eye? His destiny, his mission was to bless Klal Yisrael, but he did not fargin. He didn't want to bless. Shasum ho ayin. So this pasuk that says the toiv ayin hu yivaruch. Moshe will fill in for the Shesumayin.
Now, is he the Dalit or for what he weakened out?
Kinosan milach moy ladal. So what does it have to do with the end? I don't know what the end of
the... Gave the four.
Dalid, deles.
Dalid. He didn't give.
Ladal, kinosan milach. He gave him his bread. Ladal. I don't know. Now, here comes a nice part. Because this is already more precise. Because if you take out a computer, open the computer, and you do a search, how many times do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah actually blessed Klal Yisrael? How many times did he privately bless? Four times. Number one is after the Mishkan was complete. Parshas was a Vayakov Pekudei. Vayar Moshe Eskol Hamalacha. Vegoimer Vayivorech Oysam Moshe. Was it Vayakov? Vayakov maybe? Vayakov Pekudei? Then the Pekudei? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the Malacha was complete, he blessed Klal Yisrael. Vechei Nemar Vayetsu Vayivorechu Esam and Vayikra. It says in Vayikra, Moshe Rabbeinu went out and he blessed them. When was that? I'm not sure what that part was. That's a parak test, Pasuk of Gimel. Vayetsu Vayivorechu Es Ha'am. In Mishnah Torah, we have in the beginning of Devarim, the very beginning of Devarim, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kochem, Vivarech Eschem, Kasher Diber Lochem, and the fourth time is, Vizois HaBrocha Sheberach Moshe. So according to this Medrash, it's a very fascinating Medrash. We take Moshe, we take Bilam, we connect them to the fact that it says by Moshe, Tov Ayin, the fact that it says by Bilam, Shesum HaAyin, and the fact that Bilam erected seven Mizbachos, and Balak said you only may gave three brachos, there are four missing, and we take the other missing piece of the puzzle that we find in the Torah that Moshe blessed Klal Yisrael four times. Moshe's four brachos are filling in the four brachos that Bilam was really meant to bless Klal Yisrael. That's a very, very interesting idea. Now, this is a very great advantage because you also combine this idea with the Chazal that tells us that all of the brachos of Bilam, they turned back into klalos, except for one. Except for the bracha Matoiv Olach Yaakov Mishkan Osach Yisrael, that Bilam, because he was a shesum ayin, he had an ayin ra. So even though temporarily his brachos were brachos, but when Yisrael is einam oisim mitzvah shel makom, then the brachos of Bilam turned into klalos. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who has a toiv ayin, even when Yisrael are einam oisim mitzvah shel makom, it's not possible for the brachos to turn into klalos. So it is to our advantage. Bilam was meant to give Klal Yisrael seven brachas. If he would have succeeded, then those seven brachas would be dependent only if we're doing Loisim Ritzena Shel Makom. If we're not Loisim Ritzena Shel Makom, then those brachas could turn into klalos. Even worse, the Chazal say the brachas turned into klalos. But now that Bilam was a Shesumayin, he did himself in. He did himself in, so he didn't want to give the brachas. So the four brachas are given by Moshe, who is a Toivayin, and Moshe brachas are unconditional. Unconditional brachas and are guaranteed to be good. So there was a...
Even though some of those brachos came
okay, so this is a medrash. In the world of medrashim, you don't ask such kashas. There is hocus pocus. You don't ask. Torah is seamless. It's eternal. It's Rav Chol will tell us, right? Rav Chol, the Torah, when it comes to medrashim, you have a lot of liberties that you don't have in this world. Okay, so this I found to be personally fascinating. Two different parts of this medrash to know that Klal Yisrael, let's review. We have seven blessings, Klal Yisrael. Seven blessings. Two come from Yitzchak. One from Avraham. One from the Malach. One from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One from Yaakov himself, and one comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Total of seven blessings. In the second drasha, we have this puzzle, mamish, a puzzle, all of these different pieces, Bilam, Shesumayin, Moshe is Toivayin, seven Mizbachos, Balak says he only gave three brachas, four are missing, we find in the Torah four times that Moshe gave bracha to be mashlim, the seven brachas, and obviously the concept of seven brachas is very, very, very a basic thing in our life. Every marriage starts off with seven brachas. What more can we possibly do? The foundation.
Those three brachas that Bilam gave could turn out klala?
It did turn. Chazal said before, those three brachas that he gave turned into klala. When Klal Yisrael were not Oisim Ritzena Shel Makom, they reverted into what his original Kavana was. Chazal say from the bracha, we can know what he really wanted to curse. Bilam, everything that it says in those brachas, really he wanted to say in the negative form to be a klala. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mahapech, the klala lebracha. But if we're not Oisim Ritzena Shel Makom, then that klala, that bracha in Echanami goes back and turns Chas Shalom into klala. Okay, so this concludes this section of the Medrash.
Okay, there's one little thing I wanted to point back, because I saw this, I was preparing yesterday. Just going back very quickly, yesterday we learned about Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem. Oyshev V'chavod V'chayim, in reward, or on the sleeve, on the tail of Anava, in the wake of Anava comes Yiras Hashem, Oyshev V'chavod V'chayim in life. I saw yesterday from the Chida in the Sefer Shem HaGedolim, it's like a history book, he writes that at the time of the writing of the Shulchan Aruch, it was revealed to him, I don't know how it was revealed to him, but he does all Kabbalah, there were three candidates that were Eliyah, the Shemayim, they wanted that a Shulchan Aruch should be written. They saw there was a very great need, and there were three people living in this world that were capable of writing a Shulchan Aruch. One was the Mari Beirav. The Mari Beirav lived in the Eretz Yisrael, he was a Gaon Atzam. The Mari Beirav, he was a candidate that could have written a Shulchan Aruch. And then there was a Yosef, I forgot his name, I wrote it down. Yosef Tatzik. It was also a very famous person living in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef Tatzik. And he was eligible, and then there was the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo. All Sfarim. And each one of these on their own could have written the Shulchan Aruch. And there was a debate in Shemayim, who should be given the Zuchus? Who should be influenced to write the Shulchan Aruch? And it was given to Rav Yosef Karo. Why? Because he was humble. Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem Oysher V'Chavod V'Chayim. That they felt that due to his humility is the reason why he was zochet to this very great bracha of the oysher v'chavod l'chaim. The ultimate oysher is v'yetzu b'rechush gadol, and the chavod in kavod is all of these different words over here are expressions of Torah. Yiras Hashem, oysher v'chavod l'chaim, and it was a reward for Anova. So that just ties in. It just sounds very interesting how it ties in. Mamash, we were learning yesterday of the reward one receives for Anova. By the way, when they wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Mari Beirav, he told this Talmidim that you're not allowed to learn the Shulchan Aruch. He told him it's just like learning an art school Gemara. It's cheating. There's no Amelus.
That's why they wanted to put it with Chayra.
The Rabbi Yosef Karo.
He wanted to do Smicha. He fought for Smicha and
that's another thing. They wanted to read through the Smicha, and they did not include, and they gave it to the Rabbi, they didn't,
He's the one who organized it. He wanted to make it.
But they forgot about their other Chacham. They didn't include all the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, whatever the story, but he told us, you're not allowed to learn Shulchan Aruch because there's no Amelos. And then it happened when they needed to know something, and they couldn't figure out what it was, and they had to come on to the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mari Beirav, he accepted that it was Minash Shammai, that he should forget the halacha, certain halacha, there's a whole story behind this, in order to recognize, to give legitimacy, that the time has come where Miskadnu Hadaros, we need a Shulchan Aruch, and it should be accepted in Klal Yisrael. You know, the Mishnah Berurah today, I remember the Arshul came, and I'm sure you'll remember, there was a lot of opposition. There was a lot of opposition with the art school. There were certain Gedolim, I don't want to say some names, that did not, they wanted to come out, swing against it, and the American Rosh Yeshiva had to persuade some Gedolim. No, it wasn't money. They had to persuade them very strongly with very harsh words that you should let it go. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And at the end, they backed off. They let it go. And art school today, it's all history. I mean, today, what were they thinking, right? What were they thinking? But at the time, it wasn't so simple. But the truth is, someone told me, I knew someone in Yeshiva, and he told me that his grandfather. And he told me that his grandfather remembers that when the Mishnah Berurah came out, there were Gedolim that looked down at the Mishnah Berurah worse than the way people looked down at the Art School Gemara. They felt not because of halacha. They felt that it's illegal. What is it? It's like an Art School Gemara. What is the Mishnah Berurah? It's a collection.
It's a shortcut.
It's a shortcut. You little Eliyahu Rabbah, a little Magen Avraham, a little Taz. It's just a summary. If you want to learn Shalach, you have to learn the real thing. And there were people that we can't even fathom this. That's how people looked at the Mishnah Berurah. The way we can't even fathom about learning the Arshul Gemara either. But that's even the way they looked at the Shulchan Aruch. You need a halacha. You want to know what the halacha is. What's the problem? You go learn the Gemara and you learn the Rishonim and you'll come to a conclusion. You'll come to a conclusion what the halacha is. You'll falpal asuke shmai to leave the hilchasa. You need a Shulchan Aruch to go and tell you, to spoon feed you, to tell you to go through the steps from the Gemara and the Rishonim, the Maskan, how to paskin. This was something which was not accepted in ancient times, but over time.
The same reason Rabbi Yosef Karo was also.
Yes. less.
The need was
greater. Absolutely, that's that 100%. Okay, let's
say that that's why Rashi wrote Rashi.
Rashi also.
On that level.
Well, Rashi, they say, I don't know if it's true, we once discussed, they say that Rashi, he wrote Rashi because there was a very great division in Klal Yisrael how to learn Chumash. There was a group of people that were only Ein Mikra, they learned something very literally. Only after taking the literal pshat. Of course, it's Tosha Baal Peh, but it has to be as little as possible. Then there were people which learned Chumash, it's Mishalim. Nothing ever happened in the Torah. Everything is a mashal. Everything was a vision, was a mashal. So Rashi came along and he made a balance. He was ma'achet klal Yisrael by writing a commentary which brought together the best of agada and pshat. When you learn a pasuk in Chumash, sometimes the pshat is the homiletic interpretation, and sometimes the pshat is the literal interpretation. That's loybosi ela lefarish. What fits better into the pasuk, the homiletic interpretation, or does the literal interpretation? That's called pshat in Rashi's eyes. And Rashi was a innovator. It was a novel idea to be able to merge the two together with his kuntris. He was the first one to give out parsha sheets. Literally, he was the first person to distribute in shul parsha sheets. He put out a parsha sheet and it was anonymous. He left it on the table, he put down a parsha sheet, and he ran away. People came in. What's this? What is this? The Pnimim. It was called the Kuntras. They were fascinated. Who wrote this? Where did it come from? And next week, suddenly another issue came out. And ultimately, Rashi revised it and became, Rashi was discovered, and it was compiled and became Rashi and Chumash. It's fascinating, the history of how Chumash and Rashi came into existence. Okay, with that, we will